And let's go ahead and pray and start. Lord, I come to you this morning and I just seek your guidance. I seek your direction. I seek your word, Father, to bring it to your people, to share with them what you say, Lord, through what you show my spirit. I ask that you be with us now, and I thank you and I praise you in Christ's name. Good morning, all. I have some scriptures that we're going to look at. I will share with you, as I age, as I mature, which I know for some of you is a very funny word for me to say out loud about myself, I learn to listen closer to what God says. And when he shows me to seek direction, I seek his direction. So I have some scriptures I want to read with you today. I want to just read them in the vein of what they are. And then in the last scripture, the Spirit hopefully will show you what he's showing me. So if you will start, let's turn to Titus, please. Titus chapter 3. Titus 3, we're going to start in verse 1. Remind your people to obey the rulers and authorities and to not be rebellious. And they must always be ready to do something helpful and not say cruel things or argue. They should be gentle and kind to everyone. We used to be stupid, disobedient, and foolish, as well as slaves of all sorts of desires and pleasures. We were evil and jealous. Everyone hated us and we hated everyone. God, our Savior, showed us how good and kind he is. He saved us because of his mercy and not because of any good things we have done. God washed us by the power of the Holy Spirit. He gave us new birth and a fresh beginning. God sent Jesus Christ, our Savior, to give us his Spirit. Jesus treated us much better than we deserve. He made us acceptable to God and gave us the hope of eternal life. The message is certainly true. These teachings are useful and helpful for everyone. I want you to insist that the people follow them so that all who have faith in God will be sure to do good deeds. But do not have anything to do with stupid arguments about ancestors, and stay away from disagreements and quarrels about the law of Moses. Such arguments are useless and senseless. Warn troublemakers once or twice, then don't have anything to do with them. You know their minds are twisted, and their own sins show how guilty they are. I want to go back up here for a minute. Verse 5, it says, he saved us because of his mercy, and not because of any good things we have done. God washed us by the power of the Holy Spirit. He gave us new birth and a fresh beginning. God sent Jesus Christ, our Savior, to give us his Spirit. Proverbs 6, please. Hold on one second. The CEV. I turned it back to the NIV. So let's read that again, because that was not probably the proper one I wanted to read, but let's read it again. Remind the people to be subject to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready to do whatever is good, to slander no one, to be peaceable and considerate, and always to be gentle toward everyone. At one time, we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passion and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. But when the kindness of God and the love of God, our Savior, appeared, he saved us. Not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ, our Savior, so that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. This is a trustworthy saying, and I want you to stress these things so that those who have trusted in God may be careful to devote themselves to doing what is good. These things are excellent and profitable for everyone. But avoid foolish controversies and genealogies and arguments and quarrels about the law, because these are unprofitable and useless. Warn a divisive person once and then warn them a second time. After that, have nothing to do with them. You may be sure that such people are warped and sinful. They are self-condemned. Now, the part that I wanted to read last time that I'll read again is this part here. He saved us not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. Now we can go to Proverbs, please. And Carol, thank you for that. Proverbs 6. Proverbs 6, verse 16. There are six things the Lord hates, seven that are detestable to him: haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked schemes, feet that are quick to rush into evil, a false witness who pours out lies, and a person who stirs up conflict in the community. My son, keep your father's command and not forsake your mother's teaching. Bind them always on your heart. Fasten them around your neck. When you walk, they will guide you. When you sleep, they will watch over you. When you awake, they will speak to you. For this command is a lamp, this teaching is a light, and correction and instruction are the way of life. Colossians 3, please. Colossians 3, verse 12. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And are all these virtues put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Since as members of one body, you are called to peace and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalm, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. 1 Corinthians, please. 1 Corinthians 1. Yep. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 10. I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another in what you say, and that there be no division among you, that you be perfectly united in mind and thought. My brothers and sisters, some from Chloe's household have informed me that there are quarrels among you. What I mean is this: one of you says, I follow Paul; another, I follow Apollos; another, I follow Cephas; still another, I follow Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I did not baptize any of you except Crispus and Gaius, so no one can say that you are baptized in my name. Yes, I also baptized the household of Stephanus. Beyond that, I don't remember if I baptized anyone else. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom and eloquence, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. All right, last one, guys, is Romans chapter 5. Romans 5, we're going to jump down to verse 15. Verse 15, but the gift is not like the trespass. For though many died by the trespass of the one man, how much more did God's grace and the gift that came by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflow to the many? Nor can the gift of God be compared with the result of one man's sin. The judgment followed one sin and brought condemnation, but the gift followed many trespasses and brought justification. For if by the trespass of the one man death reigned to that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and of the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ? The reason I wanted to read this today was because there's a lot of things in my life that I'm looking at that cause division in my view of things. And in the body of Christ, as we just read through the course of all of those scriptures, there's a singular thread. The singular thread is that God's word is the truth. Not my thought, not my opinion, not what I've done, not what I say, not what the world says, not what it courses us to do. But in every scripture, it said this: we have to understand each other. We have to relate to each other because we have been called for each other to this body. And in all of those scriptures, it all said, it is not because of anything that we have done. It is not because of anything we've set right. It's not something we figured out. It's not a discussion we had to come to a term of understanding. It's because God is merciful. And in his love, he has brought us to a place to where the differences are not nearly as important as the singular truth, right? And here's the singular truth. God has forgiven us for everything, for everything. And he's brought us to a place where we can receive that and we have a choice. We can live like it, or we can struggle with it, or we can point out the differences, or we can find forgiveness with one another, and we can seek comfort with one another, and we can come to learn compassion with one another. But we are a single body of Christ, and we don't exist with everything out there. And what we have to do, or what I'm learning to see that I have to do, is to be single-minded in my pursuit of my God. Because in doing that, I can turn to those that need it and say, here's the truth. Not James's truth, but the truth. And that is the word that the Lord had for me today. So I thank you very much for your time. I thank you for listening. If anybody has any questions, please ask Will. And other than that, I believe that I am done pretty much. You guys up north, all right? Were those thumbs up? I can't see. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I'm going to have Will pray for us then.
Father, we come before you today. We thank you for your word. We thank you for what you're bringing forth to us, Father. Give us ears to hear and eyes to see today, Lord. Bless our time together. In your son's name.